beer, so. Oh, we topped it.
Whoa,
he cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark as always. What's been going on, brother?
Just the same old usual, mate. Just playing a bit of golf, practicing, trying to get better. We'll come on to my golf in a minute, but I believe you defended your pro crown at the Alliance this week, didn't you?
Do you know what? I went back to defend it, and when I turned up, it was at Widnes Golf Club. It was only 15 quid, wasn't expecting much. Expecting a dog track, to be honest. And it was fucking boss.
Was it?
Yeah, sick. Dead
what
like,
was it like?
Deadly like little old school course, like quite sure, very Waltonish. But
yeah.
A lot of greens are unreal.
Was the air rolling well?
Rolling perfect, yeah.
How did the game go?
But the game was all right, but they didn't have any individual.
Ah,
for some
okay.
reason.
So you're still defending champ then?
Still defending champ, yeah, basically. But we just had played pairs, and I think me and Matt were like 3 under, but we had like 2 holes where we both bogeyed.
Wait, you didn't stay with the defending partner, no?
Well, because Hayde won the first one with Reedy, then Hayde won with me, and then he swapped back again, do you know what I mean? So,
has he won?
I don't think he won, I think he came second.
Did they, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But it was good, though. It was good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we played Friday as well, didn't we? We got 8 of us. Not
yeah.
Very rare to get 8 people down for the game of golf
I
these days,
I struggled, you know.
Did you? So,
oh, big time, yeah. I had a proper way with myself on 12. It was funny, because I finished work late, and then there was traffic getting to the club, so I just arrived and teed off, so I didn't expect much of the first shows, because I was stiff as anything. And, I was horrendous. Just the worst I've played for the first 6 holes. I think I was like 8 or 9 over for 6 holes, so the card went in the bin. And
yeah.
I just concentrated on just trying to get me, trying to find a swing. And I said to the lads on 12, I said, look, if this drive goes left again, I'm done. I'm
done
off.
Done what, with golf?
Just for the day.
Oh,
not
yeah.
golf in general. I just said, I will not hit another tee shot. I'll just drop in the fairway. It got to me that much mentally.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, I can't believe this. So Hayden had a word with me. The tee shot went all right, actually. And I carried on. And then I don't know if you've done this before, but you just remember a swing thought, or you remember doing something. So David told me just to swing back slower, and give yourself more time to get through it when I went and seen him. And I just remembered it, and I'd done that. And then for the last 5 or 6 holes, I think I was 1 over.
Ah, nice.
But then it gave me confidence then going into the Saturday, because it was a tournament on Saturday off the back tees. And then I finished 10 over in the end, but I was 5 over with 4 to play or 5 to play. So I was in a decent position, and then just blew up. And I'll come on to why I blew up when we do the birdie bogey bus later.
Nice.
Because it's placed nicely in my bogey, so I'll come on to it in more detail. But the handicap went up to 6.9, the index. So I was actually playing. My playing handicap was 8.
Oof.
On Saturday. It's the first time I've ever played off 8 since I can remember, honestly. So it was one of those where, like, I was sort of thinking, surely I've got to win off 8, you know,
yeah,
backing yourself.
Fucking
and then
right, yeah.
And then when I was 5 over with a few to go, I was thinking, I'm doing all right here.
Yeah.
And then ended up finishing 10 over, give me a net 74, so it was all right. But I'll come on later as to the reason I think those last 5 holes went the way they did.
Right. Well, S&A is a mad one for me, because I just couldn't read the greens at all for the first like 6-7 holes.
No,
couldn't get them speed. 4-putted at the second, and like I couldn't get the
second. There's been a few new greens. The second, the 16th, and the 12th. And what they've done, they've made the greens bigger, and they've made them with more slopes and undulation.
I think
they're
a different speed as well, mate.
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe. I've not really noticed that, but maybe, yeah.
Well, maybe
it's
just
right.
me, but like honestly, I just couldn't get the greens, and then I think I was 5 over. Through 8, and I left one in the bunker on 7 as well, and then just got up and down with second ball for the par.
Yeah.
I was thinking up and down, baby, you're lovely.
Yeah.
And then I eagled 9. I had my first eagle of the year.
Well in.
Yeah.
Good lad.
Driver 4-iron, knocked in like a 30-footer, and I was like...
Just driver off that tee, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I never take driver off that tee.
You don't take driver off anything.
That's a fair point, to be fair.
I was trying to carry the thing.
I just think with
I'm sure
the
of it,
it was windy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a tough day. Yeah, I just think with the trouble left, I just think if you can just block one out to the right, you've got plenty of room.
Yeah, I suppose,
because
yeah.
Hayden it driver off that tee.
Yeah.
And he hit a belter straight, but because there's not that much room to work with, he's gone straight into the gorse bushes at the top of the hill.
It's not for him, not the club for him, but his three would go as far as most man's drivers.
Smoking that three wheel all day in, by the way.
But what do you call it? And I've noticed, right, and I haven't quite looked at my scorecards to reiterate this, but since Woolton, when I was actually under par, every time I've made a birdie, no matter what, whether it's like a birdie to go one under, whether it's a birdie in the round, whether it's a couple of bogeys, then a birdie, I give the shot straight back.
Every time?
Yeah, made an eagle, and I was, Hayden's like, well, just make a par, you know what I mean? Like, give one, but you want to give one back there? Then I went bogey, bogey again, then a birdie, then a bogey.
Did you?
Yeah, and I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I don't
but
understand.
But you do, when you look at, even the professionals do that, though, you look at some of the scorecards, like, and it's birdie, bogey, birdie, and Tom the other week, he went double bogey, eagle or something,
What the fuck goes on in here? It's all mental, innit?
It is, yeah, definitely mental, yeah. Well, look at Tiger in the Masters, made a 10, and then finished the round with birdies, the rest
five
of the olds.
Birdies, I know, yeah.
It's just like, and if he wouldn't have made that 10, would he have made the birdies? Like, just something mentally is clicked, so we'll never fully understand it. It's just one of them games that we love to hate, innit?
I know, but playing SNA on that Friday night done me no favours for the Saturday, because we had the Stableford Champs there.
Oh, the blue tees.
The blues.
I see in the post you done with the par
240 yards into
wind. What
did
you hit?
I had 5 wood, like, but Keaton hit driver.
Did he?
A few of them hit driver as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Some fella to play with driver wedge.
Like, no. Sounds like my type of golf.
Not even messing, like, but it wasn't even the length off the blues that was the problem. It was the greens. It was, because the SNA were like tabletops, we got quite quick. And then Formula's look quick, but they were slow.
Was
dead
it?
Slow, yeah.
Yeah, so you struggle with the pace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, even the practice greens are never as consistent, are they? So you can spend as much time as you want on them. And then if you've been playing on quicker greens the day before, it's always a struggle.
So I left about 7 par puts right in the jaws, like, from like 10 foot and all. And just, you know, that little bit of momentum that just, like, keeps you going through the round. And then every little mistake was, I was getting piled on top of me, mistake after mistake after mistake. And I think, bombing it down the middle, and just, nightmare. But anyway, another day, another dollar. Next week, back on the blues. Gonna have a
back
go
on it. Yeah, that's it. I think I just need to try and spend a bit more time on the driving range. Me,
that's
I'm
it,
going straight on the course, and it's just not doing me no favors at all.
It.
I've got a match this afternoon, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah. So have you got any golfing news then?
Well, I've got one of the loveliest bit of businesses ever.
Go on.
TaylorMade was bought for $425 million. I think it was like 4 years ago, was it? And then it was sold $1.6 billion.
No way.
Uh-huh.
I did see that news, yeah. $1.6 billion.
It's a billion and a bit profit. Couldn't do the maths on that.
I was going to say.
My maths is shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's just 1....
1.2 odd billion, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
1.2175 billion.
So what do you think's what the future of TaylorMade? Because new ownership means new.
It's like a Korean investment company.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means.
But I just think new investment means new structure, and maybe, do you know what, they went through that whole transition, didn't they, where they didn't provide clubs and sponsorship to every player. They just picked a niche.
Yeah,
the big six. So whether there's going to be a big change up from that perspective, there'd be an interesting one to keep an eye on.
It's an interesting one that it's been sold along with Tiger, like, not really being there, because Tiger was like passing that, do you know what I mean? And it's like,
that is an
Jack
interesting.
And the sale was made before the crash, and then they've like waited to see if he's going to come back, or like, I don't know, it's mad.
There has been talk about a potential sale.
February.
Yeah, so there's been potential sale, but maybe they've just thought.
That can't help, can it, when you lose your number one star horse, do you know what I mean?
Definitely. No, you've got a point there.
Yeah, so I don't know, but another bit of news. Mickelson has got an exemption to the
US Open.
Yeah.
Seeing that, yeah. Great stuff. What do you think of that?
Because he's never. Well, it's a mad one, isn't it? Do you reckon they've given it just because he hasn't won it?
He deserves it, mate. I think so. But no, we spoke.
You're not meant to. Only like 6 players have had it, you know?
Yeah, but Phil Mickelson's a Hall of Famer, isn't he? So,
yeah, so are all these.
Who?
Tom Watson, Vijay Singh, Retief Goosen, Jim Furyk, Ernie Els are the only people since 2010 to get. A special invite.
Yeah,
it's an open. You know, you're meant to qualify.
You got to qualify, yeah. So, and he hasn't qualified.
And he's come runner up 6 times.
Yeah.
So they're probably thinking, let's just get him in.
Let's get him over the line.
I think he could do it. You know.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Don't know. You know, he's not really playing the best, is he?
I know, but he doesn't need to, really, does he?
Do you not think so?
I don't know. Well, obviously, no. I don't know what that meant. That sentence
just doesn't need to play well at the US Open. Turn up and win. He's never won one before. Like, but.
I know. I didn't mean he doesn't need to play well to win it. I meant he doesn't need to be playing well. Like, you know, it's like like the Derby. You haven't lived, but you're going.
It's
with
a
no one-off
tournament.
It's
yeah.
You get geared up.
I suppose as
you
well. I mean? Pressure's off. He's probably not thinking. he's probably thinking I shouldn't be here.
No, exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
So go out and freewheel it. If he plays the way he played day one last week, the week before, sorry, the 700, he shot no fear. And then he started trying to protect his shot and went to pot.
Exactly,
so that should be a learning curve for him.
Yeah.
Moving forward, but no good. I think he sits well in that group that you've mentioned there. Them players, I think he fully deserves it. I think that is a lot more justifiable than Ricky Fowler getting the shout.
Definitely. Well, Ricky Fowler's for this week, isn't it?
That's what I mean. Yeah, but yeah. Ricky Fowler getting in the PGA.
But I mean, the PGA is all right because they do exemptions and invites and stuff. Whereas, but the US Open is meant to be an open. It's like getting invited to the British Open. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, you've got to qualify and earn your stripes. Yeah, but exactly. I suppose he's just. I think he's justified it by earning the stripes over the years. And what's a US Open without Phil Mickelson?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So, and there's going to be no Tiger there, so.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Well, speaking of Tiger, one more little bit of news that I read. Spieth done a little piece on Tiger saying that he played with him, like, if in 2015 he was struggling with everything, his back and his chip and all different things. So he dropped the odd F-bomb, but over the whole time he's the only player that he's ever played with that has never said a negative comment about himself.
So Tiger about his own self.
Yeah, about Tiger, yeah.
Yeah.
So it just shows you the mindset, even when he's playing, he's not saying I suck or I'm shit. He's just like,
do you know what? I'm not comparing myself to Tiger Woods.
Oh my god,
right?
There we go.
But like, that's the polar opposite to me when I play, because every time I get a bad tee shot, I'm forever saying you are fucking shite
exactly.
At this game. Why do you even play it? And giving yourself such an hard time. So I'm gonna try that.
Do you see that meme that I made of the Kramer off the Seinfeld?
Yeah, yeah.
Volleying his clubs and that. Sick as that.
There was when I was younger, obviously, you'll know this, so a bit of a temper on me and a bit of a tittle latin back in the day. And I was close, you know,
to
on Friday
oh,
to just going off my head, yeah. It got to the point where, like, I just had to just put my golf club in my bag and just, like, walk away.
Yeah, my putter nearly went in the lake on the weekend. I was thinking, I was just going to put it and then just swing and go, and just
honestly,
let go of it.
I fucking hate that, I love it, honestly.
Oh, I don't know.
It's just mad.
You go but out no, today, maybe shoot the lights out, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, like,
well, this
there's
is, this
no
is the,
telling what you're going to do.
This
that's
is
the problem,
this is the problem with golf. So, literally, I couldn't have played, and that's since I've come back, that's the worst I've played since I've been playing regularly. Without a doubt, that was the worst I played. Couldn't get it off the tee, missing putts, short game was shocking, duffing chips. And then I go out on the Saturday, a day later, and play really well. You know what I mean? My chipping's back on point. I'm holing putts, I'm getting the ball off the tee, and then I'm 4-5 over with 4-5 to play. And it's like not a position I've been in for a while.
Yeah.
So it just
shows you it like rest, reset, go again. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
It's, I mean, it's like what like you hear all the like Crumble, Owen, McCarthy, all these people talking about like the mind game, and it's another day, and it's you're off, aren't you? Forget
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, even with hole by hole, and that's why they say shot by shot, isn't it?
Yeah. It was, yeah. But no, that it goes to show why he wins so much, though, Tiger, when you think about what Spieth's saying there. He's constantly backing himself. And you will back yourself when you're as good as him, obviously.
Yeah,
but
obviously,
there's obviously, like we've just spoke about then, there's times where you're going to get really frustrated on the golf course because it is a horrible sport to play.
Oh, it's horrible, man.
So for him never to have given himself a hard time like that, it just shows that...
Well, it's like Koepka said. Koepka come out this week and said, like, you're literally going to win 5% of the times that you're going to go out there. You're going to suck the rest of the time. So just suck it up, get on with it, and go again. Like,
yeah.
End of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What can you do? You know, but it's just frustrating when I knew, because I was hitting so many fairways on the weekend and I was missing greens and scabbing it, not taking a divot. I was thinking there's something going on here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Then you try and take a divot, fat it, and you're like forcing the issue, and it was me weight.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
This
what
was,
the fuck?
And it only clicks, doesn't it, when you're starting to do things. Like when we played the Formby All, didn't we? And you're off to a bit of a ropey start, and you was your 2 over through 5, and then you just started to really knuckle down your pre-shot routine, take your time. You stood off a few things, and you shot 1 over
from there. I know exactly
for the whole round. Yeah,
I
so
know.
It just goes to show. Yeah, it is.
You can just tweak one little thing. Like people say, don't think about things mid round, but sometimes, like if it's not broke, don't fix it. Yeah, but if it is broke, I think
you have to fix it.
Amy Bolden said. Yeah, she wants to know what she's actually doing wrong.
Yeah.
So a coach, Liam, would tell her, like, this is what it is, and if you got this bad shot, that's why.
Yeah.
And then you can fix it yourself then.
Yeah, exactly. Understanding your own golf swing.
Yeah, you've got to.
So important, yeah. Knowing what you're doing so that if it is going wrong, you can go back to a stock shot.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it does help. But anyway, off the news and on to this week's golf, we start with the British Masters, hosted by Danny Willey.
Yeah.
Cracking event, wasn't it?
Cracking event.
Yeah. Tough out there as well.
I was watching some of the t-shirts, some of them were written, like, the fairways looked a lot wider, they looked a lot bigger than when I remember them playing when I was playing. Unless they were
just
hitting
narrow.
Them.
Yeah, they were just hitting
hit the fairway.
That's probably the problem, yeah.
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 But it was a great thing, yo. It was good to see Eduardo Molinari up there.
Yeah,
I like it. You know what I mean? I like
yeah, because Francesco just went on another level to him. Because when they first come on the scene, they were both as good as each other, weren't they? And then Eduardo sort of went off the pace, and Francesco's obviously gone on to win the Open and win a major and lead at the Masters and things. And Eduardo's not picked it up. So you're right, it was good to see
it
him
was
up
nice,
there challenging. Yeah.
As well, do you know when it rained and it was coming down, and then they were getting a lot more spin on the ball and stuff.
Yeah.
I found when I was playing on Saturday and it was raining that it was skidding. I was like, because I was skidding it to come in, I was watching it, and I was like, how's their ball just spinning like that? That's boss.
They are pros, like.
No, and I suppose that I was thinning it as well.
I know you've shot a 66, but you're just not quite there yet, lad.
No, it'll come.
Good effort, though, good effort. But no, it was good to see, obviously I have a little moan from time to time about the top players not supporting the European Tour, and if they did, how much better it would be from a sponsorship perspective to get more money on the tour. But it was good to see the likes of Bobby McIntyre there, wasn't it? And he was contending. And I think if it weren't for that bogey, he went on 9 and 10 on the last day.
Yeah.
He'd have probably seen that over the line.
Speaking about spin, he canned it, basically hit the flag.
And it come right to the front.
It spun off the front of the green. Like, what the fuck?
I know, and then the weird one with that three wood to get that onto the green from there, wasn't it?
I know, yeah. Well, like, because it was up against the little fringe, wasn't
it? The little fringe, yeah. Didn't want a Jason Duffner.
But forget everyone else. Well, apart from Eddie Pepperell, like, is putting. He could have been up there and won it.
Yeah, this is it.
It's an awkward one with his putting in it, because we've got Kenyon coming on there and he gets lessons off him, but he was shy, wasn't he?
I suppose Kenyon can only give them the tools. They've got to go out and perform it, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, but you're right. It was good. There's a few up there. Andy Sullivan missed a few, got coming in. And then we talk about margins. You said that you left a couple in the jaws. That was the same for Migliozzi.
Yeah.
3-putt on 17 on the par 5 when he hit it in 2, makes a par and then leaves it right in the jaws. Could have had it over the line, but then it all opens it up.
And then 3-putt in the playoff hole. Like, yeah. That first putt, mate, what was he fucking up to there?
I know, knocking it so far past.
But again, another one, divot again. Could have fucked fucking Richard Bland there.
Yeah.
Drove it straight into a divot. He had to, like, bottom groove a 3-wood, little skiddy, didn't he, back of the green?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's
weird.
It's about margins, isn't it? Like, again, that could have cost them.
Some balls to take that shot on, though, innit? Over the water. To that, like, thinner, look, like, basically, that's a thinner 3-wood, didn't he? Out the divot.
Yeah, he did.
Mad.
It is. It just goes to show you, though, doesn't it? Like, the margins are so small. Like, he hit a drive on 18, and he just got over the water.
Yeah.
So just carried the water. If that wind picks up slightly while that ball's in the air, that's in the water. He doesn't win.
Yeah.
And the same with
in regulation play. You mean?
Yeah.
But what about the putt?
I know.
In regulation play.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
I know.
The emotion coming out of him as well. It was great.
Yeah. Well, it's what is it? The 478th attempt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's close now to getting onto the seniors tour.
Well, he dropped back to challenge last 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've seen in the interview, he was like, well, what am I going to do? I'm getting fatter as it is, so I might as well, like, play some golf.
It's a good mentality to have, though, and he hasn't put that much pressure on himself. He's thought, the way that he's playing, he finished top 10 in Gran Canaria last week, so he's obviously playing well. He fancied his chance on the challenge tour a couple of years ago, didn't he? And it was the right move, because you're right, what else is he going to do? As long as he's got the financial backing and can support it, he probably would have done 2 or 3 years on challenge tour, keep his game sharp, and then he's onto the seniors tour then, where he can earn a bit of money.
Yeah, he's got a bit of time to wait before that, hasn't he? And then the seniors' purses are big, aren't they? Like,
they are, yeah.
Especially if he goes over to the what's it called, the Tour Champions?
Tour Champions, yeah. That's where the big bucks are, over in America, obviously, but there's still enough money on the stage show.
And Dave Coupland, is it?
Dave Coupland, yeah.
Yeah, his putting was a joke.
Wow, he holds some monsters. I know, see that eagle putt that went drained it from about 100
foot. Oh, that one, yeah. Well, the one on 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the one on 16, he held a big one, 30 odd foot, and then he held like a 50 odd footer on that. And a few others during the week, I was like.
And what did he finish one back in the end, or a couple back, was it?
Yeah, I think he was 11.
1113, yeah. Won it, yeah. No, it was great to see, wasn't it? The emotions as well. Tim Barter obviously been with him from the day. And did you see Tim on 18 when he held that putt? Just fist pump, emotions riding. I suppose when you've
He had to come over and give the interview as well, didn't he?
I know, you could see he was choking up as well, wasn't he?
You know what the best thing about the interview for me was? He was holding that mic at like 2 meters distance. And then by the end of it, he was like halfway down the pole. And then the mic was like over there and he was right next to him.
Just wants to give him a cuddle, didn't he?
That shit, they're obviously with each other every day, don't they?
It doesn't really matter about the COVID stuff. Just for the cameras, that isn't it. But you know what was interesting? Richard Bland said after the round about his driving.
Yeah.
He was 105th in driving distance, 272 yards on average.
That's
a long course. That.
Well, that's
so
it
just shows like 80%. He was number one in the field for accuracy.
There you go.
80% of fairway. So we go back to the distance debate, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? You can get it over the line. He's one of the shortest in the field, but he's putting the ball in play. And round courses like that, if you're iron playing, your short game's on fire, you're gonna get it over the line, aren't you? One bogey all week he had.
There you go.
Bogey 366 to close it out. One bogey. There's minimal mistakes. I think for somebody like that.
And 13 under isn't exactly shooting the house down, is it?
No.
Doing it for four rounds, like it's boss, it's amazing golf.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like compared to the last 3 weeks.
Well, this is the difference, yeah. And we'll come on to this next. The Byron Nelson.
Yeah.
That turned into a birdie fest.
Well, exactly. What I was thinking as well. What I've got wrote down here is they've got a 5-year deal at that place.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that the PGA Tour are probably going to be thinking, Jesus Christ, we need to change this.
It goes back to the point I made the other week, though. Like, they should have a rolling field. Like, pick three events. So pick three golf courses for one event and roll them continuously every 3 years. So where was it before this place?
Not
TPC?
Sure, you know.
No. It'd be interesting to find out and maybe just spread it between the three courses that are local in that.
Well, exactly,
in the Texas
exactly.
area.
Exactly. Like, why don't they?
This is what I mean, because then we've spoke about it plenty of times. So it'd be interesting to see how this course holds up over the next few years, because
it was a birdie fest. They're going to have to do something to it, aren't they?
Because it was just too easy for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, at Trinity Forest, I think it was. Trinity Forest Golf Club in Dallas.
Yeah. So maybe spread them around a couple of different events.
That Craig Ranch, though, it's brand new, isn't it? Or like 2000, not brand new, but 2004, yeah. brand new but
it's
in golf
brand new
course
in golf,
terms.
Yeah. Takes a few years to embed, doesn't it?
So they probably threw a good bit of money to the PGA Tour.
That's what I mean.
Do you know what
but
I mean?
The course was lovely.
No, it looks sick.
Yeah, the course was amazing, but you do want to see a bit more of a challenge, don't you? You want to see
them.
The
water quite bad though, didn't it? Once it started raining.
Monsoon alert though.
I know.
Come on.
I didn't even know it rained in Texas. I didn't.
It was iced over a couple of months ago, wasn't it?
That's what I mean, but that's not rain, is it? I know, that's a global warming. I can't be having that. But yeah, I was at a party yesterday and Nicola said to me, do you want some sun cream? And I was like, no, I'm all right, 2 seconds later, it was hailstoning.
Yeah.
Madness the weather, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy. It doesn't know what it's doing.
It doesn't.
But it's always been like that in this country, but I know what you're saying. That monsoon
it's
was just
more extreme, isn't it? But that monsoon was a joke. It just come in, didn't it?
I know.
And then lightning.
Yeah.
I know, it was gutted when that lightning came in. Like, it was... I thought they were just going to get away. They were doing a few bits to the course.
They've been panicking as well because it's PGA at Kiawah Island this week, isn't it? So they wouldn't have wanted that going over to the Monday.
Well, they were saying
would have wanted to get over.
Get out of there.
Let's just get out of here and let's get over to the PGA. But I just wanted appreciation for Sam Burns, Ryder Cup contender.
Well, yeah, definitely. But I want appreciation for him as well, the fact that he didn't win.
Because I had him.
I was buzzing.
I was gutted, man. My four picks that I had. All four of them after the first round were all in the top 20. Obviously, two of them ended up missing the cut on the button.
Oh.
John Catlin being one of them. We spoke about the European Tour players. How did he get on over there?
Yeah.
Thomas Peters, Anthony Rosner, and John Catlin, all European Tour players this season, all missed on the button. or was it five under? I thought it was six under, wasn't it?
I just think if they make the cut, it's like them finishing top 20 in the
it's like them winning. Exactly. It's like them winning on the European tour if you make the cut.
I know.
Yeah.
But you're saying about the long hitters there, like Bryson and Cameron Champ, they're the two longest, aren't they, in the field? I don't know if that was statistically, but usually they are.
Yeah.
And like they were what, both 10 under, like just poor showings really from them if the winner was what, 24 under.
Well, that's it. I think of courses like that, when it's a birdie fest, it's about how you control your wedges and how you control your shorter irons and getting that over the line. So
well, that's Sam Burns. A couple of times he put it in the water and he was there and he'd get himself up and down for par, and he's the control on his wedges was just unbelievable.
Well, that's
when it was
wet,
when it was dry, like the whole week.
On courses like that, I know that one had a bit of distance. It wasn't a short course, but you can just see the way it was laid out. There wasn't much trouble for going offline, was there?
No.
So and as good as these guys are, I mean, they get it out there far enough to have a shorter iron. And it's about the not really a bomber's course that.
No.
So you can see why they scored okay, 10 under and finished probably top 30, was that something like that? But you can also see why they didn't win.
Did you see one of Bryson's drives though, and it's carried like 368 or 378?
Oh, it's ridiculous, isn't
368, it? 368, I think it carried.
Yeah.
368 yards carry. Like, what even is that?
I would love to. It's a 268 carry, you know.
I honestly think that he needs testing for the steroids or something. Man. He's an animal, isn't he?
He's just, do you know what, though? Fair play to the lad. He works hard, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? He's obsessed, and you just love to see it, don't you? It's great to see. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
But before we move on to KH Lee and his victory, just a few things about Sam Burns. Shot his career.
You're not talking about him because you had him in your picture.
He's my boy, isn't he?
You wouldn't even care. You wouldn't even get a word if you didn't have him.
I just feel like I've got something right for once, so I'm gonna milk it.
It was a great pick, even though he won like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's coming off a win. Yeah, proper outsider. Career low 62 for him on the Friday.
Nice, yeah.
And then obviously Lean going into the Sunday. We spoke about him and Jordan Spieth with the two players who were tired. He's now led this season most going into the Sunday. Obviously, as we know, he didn't get it over the line. Bit of a slow start. He was level par through 11 and round there. That's not going to be good enough on a Sunday to get it through. But that finished first and second in back-to-back weeks now, and he's up to fifth in the FedEx.
Loss.
So serious boy, isn't he? Tiger spoke about him when he played. We've been through that a couple of weeks ago.
Future, exactly.
Yeah. So it's an he's definitely one to watch. KH Lee took his maiden PGA Tour victory.
I know, quality.
Unbelievable golf on it.
The before KH Lee though, that Patton Kazarsi is nine under.
Tied third.
Unreal, that.
Yeah.
I thought like he was just like an only messing golfer in Parsons in Parsons Stable.
Why? Because he's not here much.
Just never here much. He's an absolute boyo.
He's class. Really good. Yeah, he's always been on the fringes. I'm not sure if he's actually ever got one over the line and won.
We'll
fact check,
so,
but I don't think he has. But he's come close a few times. So I've seen him have quite a few top tens. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure the one for him is only round the corner. If you're shooting nine under on a Sunday,
like you're deserving whatever you can get. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, but KH Lee gets himself in the PGA this week and opens up all sorts of opportunities for him. Now we speak about it all the time, and Hudson Swafford said it. Once you get that victory on the PGA Tour, it's massive. You can plan your schedule. You can do all sorts.
Exactly.
2 year exemption. He'll be in the Masters next year. It's just unbelievable for the kid, and you know what, fair play to him. 2.5 hours or 2 hours 40 on a rain delay to then come back on a 7-8 foot par putt.
I don't know why he didn't just hit that.
I know.
Yeah, because he was over it and then it went. I'd rather just hit that, do you know what I mean?
Just get a, come over to that. Obviously misses it. And then to finish birdie. Oh, he was last on the tee there as well. Schwartzel went first on 17, hugged it left. Burns, who at this point is two behind them, sticks it to about 10 foot. So the pressure that there, he's thinking, it's only 130 yards, a wedge, so it's controllable stuff. But
you've
still to knock it to 3 foot.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
To knock it to 3 foot on 17 under all that pressure, fair play to him, then bombs it down 18, puts it on the green for two, get easy two putt birdie.
Done.
Takes it home. The third Korean to win that.
We were only talking about like
eighth Korean to win on tour. But the third to win that event, KJ Choi, Kang, who was the defending champ from 19, because there wasn't one last year.
And he's a member, wasn't he?
KH Lee has gone and won it.
But it's mad. We were only talking about because I was talking to, I play with them two Korean lads, don't I, about yeah. the boom in Korea with the golf, saying that there's more women because they didn't have a male like role models to look up to, but now there seems to be a good little flurry of them coming through, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. Well, KJ Choi was always the man, wasn't he? And then what was the guy's name who had all the woods and he won?
Wai Yang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him as well.
He beat Tiger,
With that. He's hitting like seven hybrids, wasn't
that's
he?
What
everywhere.
I mean. Tiger's hitting wedge.
Tiger's hitting wedges, yeah.
Yeah. He has won. He's won twice that Patton Kazire.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fair play.
2017 OHL Classic, Meyerbeck Classic. 2018 Sony Open in a playoff against James Hahn.
Brilliant.
And he's won the QB shootout as well. Brian Harman as his partner.
Player.
So it's, yeah, he's actually a boyo, like.
Apologies to
I thought he was only
you,
messing. Like, we get him on actually now. Yeah, yeah. Now that we know that. Shaz, we actually turned him down there. Bad that way.
If you're listening, which we know you are, Pat, yeah. Sorry, mate.
It's mandatory as soon as you go into Parsons' thing. They listen to us first and let before they do anything.
Definitely, definitely. So, yeah, no, another great event. It'll be interesting to see what they do now over the coming years with that one. Because, I mean, you know my feelings on birdie fests. They're all right in stages, like maybe one or two of them a year, but you need to see the challenge, and that's what we'll come on to it later. That's a challenge is exactly what you're going to get at Kiewit Island this week, isn't it, for the PGA?
Man.
What a course, like, at the Ocean Course. Well, before we come on to that, it's that time again.
It is. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie buzz, the birdie boogie buzz, birdie boogie buzz.
What is your birdie, brother?
My birdie is, do you see Richard Bland, after he'd done his little interview with Tim Barthard, he walked over to the screen and was speaking to his mum and dad.
I missed that bit. No,
right, so his mum and dad are there. And then, like, you know, a typical mum on the FaceTime, like, you could only see, like, half of her head, like, in a glass just like that. And then the dad was over the shoulder, like, shouting a few bits in, like, your typical dad. The sister was on like that. And then they were, like, talking, they were, like, shouting things and blah, blah, blah. Don't know if they knew that they were on.
Like, that generation don't understand the technology. Yeah. It might be a bit unfair to his mum and dad, but I know my parents,
no, that's
they don't
it,
they understand.
Definitely. She was holding it, you could see the top of her glasses. One glasses, do you know what I mean? It was typical. It was exactly what you're thinking about what a mum and dad would do.
Yeah.
But anyway, the dad was popping over and he was like, we're going to go down to Claire's to celebrate and we won't be coming back via our cars.
Banter.
And I was just like, what a legend, man.
Oh, that generation of geniuses, aren't
great,
they, man?
Auntie,
you've got to love them, haven't you?
What's your birdie, brother?
Mine is Amy Bocuset.
What?
Amy Bocuset. I don't know if you remember her from the Waste Management. She's an amateur golfer, but she's got Down syndrome.
Oh, I've seen that actually. Yeah. I've seen a picture of it with the hoodie.
Yeah. So obviously, a video went viral when she made par on the 16th of Waste Management
Woodland.
With Gary Woodland.
Yeah.
She became the first collegiate athlete with Down syndrome to compete in a national championship, the NJCAA. So that's
sick.
Like the junior. You've got like different leagues. NCAA Division 1 is the top, NCAA Division 2 is then the next division, then you've got NAIA and NJCAA. Yeah.
Fucking hell, I just spat the alphabet at me there.
Fact check, by the way, I think I've got that right. But yeah, no, that's me birdie for the week. I thought it's amazing.
What is she? Is she good then?
Yeah,
like, is she looking at me, like, looking on
she LPGA? She finished 105th. In the event, out of 116. But
I mean, like, what I'm saying is, she's not just getting picked because, like, it's like a exemption.
Oh no,
she's the first
athlete with Down syndrome to get an actual athletic scholarship in America.
Boss.
And now, obviously, she's played in the national championship. So, obviously, it's a team event. So the team get to the national championships together.
But still.
So obviously, she's part of that team and playing well.
Right,
and then
Adam,
exactly,
to
so that was me birdie for the week. I thought that was an amazing story.
Not sick, yeah. I did see it. Like, but I just sort of skimmed over because I was looking for LPGA tour news, but I did see a little
did
bit.
Did see, yeah. So being obviously, whether she turns professional or whatever, she's got.
Well, now she's in the spotlight like that. Things like end up happening. Like, you end up getting a sponsorship deal or someone backs you up.
Like sponsorship, even an invite to the Symetra Tour event to start obviously an LPGA Tour event. It'd be great to see, wouldn't it?
No, 1,000,000%, of course.
Yeah, what's your bogey?
My bogey is, so it's a golf etiquette one again, right? So, you know, you don't stand on people's lines.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, 2 seconds earlier, there was four men have just circled the hole,
yeah,
and stood all over the line, every line.
Yeah.
There's no way of finding it, non-footprint.
Yeah.
So then when the rain delay came in on the PJ Tour, the line was getting squeegeed. It was like right, you know, because he had a 50-footer or whatever, Charles Swartzel. And there was three men walking back and forth over his line.
Squeegeeing it?
Yeah, squeegeeing it, but they're walking in the back and they're walking in the back. So the line's been absolutely trodden on. But yeah, if your playing partner steps a toe on it, it's like, oh, you're on my line. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, what goes on?
Yeah, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I think it is just an etiquette thing, isn't it?
When you used to have spikes on your shoes,
I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah, like just tearing it in now.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on the conditions. I mean, if it's wet like that, and we have a lot of wet conditions in the UK, so if you're, say it's been raining or it is raining, like it was last week when we were playing, if I then stand on your line and I'm a heavy lad, you know what I mean, and I put an imprint in your line, then it's going to make a difference to your putt, isn't it?
Maybe you, yeah.
If you're over 16 stone, you can't stand on the line. There should be a new rule.
Yeah, weight limit. No, but like you're just saying, because I get what you mean, it doesn't dent the grass, but like if you're bending over, reading a 3-footer, we crouch down like on your balls of your feet with so much weight like that, 5 minutes later when someone comes to play, surely that indent's still about. It doesn't make a difference.
All right,
well,
let's challenge it from this point. Why would you stand on someone's line? If it's accidental, fair enough, apologise, and it's no big deal, but why would you... What would be the purpose of standing it to get to your ball quicker to mark it?
I don't know. Just
speed up play. What is it that like?
No, yeah, I'm not saying I want to do it. I'm just saying that it's not going to be the be all and end all of you holding the foot if someone stands on it. Yeah. Really. And in fact,
is your point people who make an issue of it?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But more to the point, right? So then, say someone's line's there and you step over, you could actually be stepping onto the line. Because the line's not never going to be straight.
Oh, that's happened plenty of times. That's happened. You see it all the time, don't you? If you've got like a 30-footer and then someone tries to step over, but they do the jump. And it even makes it worse, yeah.
So then they jump onto your line, which is, yeah, 10 times worse. So,
yeah, you should go around the outside.
That's my bogey anyway, do you know what I mean?
No, that's fine, yeah. My bogey, I mentioned it at the beginning of the show about my golf mentality. So I'm 5 over through 14 holes, right? I've had my CBD. Lovely. I'm in this position. I'm playing off 8 and I'm thinking, do you know what? I've got a chance here. And knowing the score and the way it was, if I'd have parred in, I'd have won the tournament, net 69.
Oof.
So that went through.
Won it by a bit? Or did
no, 69 won. I'd have won on a card playoff. Oh, I've even went back and worked it out as well. I've played on my mind that much.
My God.
But then, do you know what? I've stood on the 14th tee, right? Yeah. And my bogey this...
Par 3.
No, the par 3. Yeah. So par 3, I'm six over through 12, 9 iron to about... a foot and a half on 13.
Nice.
Close to going in. It had a look. Right. Knocked that in. Birdie. Got me two. Two's comp. Little £10 in the kitty. Things are looking really rosy. I stand on the 14th tee, and this is the first time I've been in a position where I'm thinking, you know what? A good score here. The conditions are bad. Could be all right. So I'm thinking...
You need to go back to the Cumberholme thing. And you need to be process-driven, yeah, not outcome.
I know. I'm thinking about the outcome. But not only that, you know, this is my bogey, right? You know what I said in my head? And I'll share this with you now. If I shoot 5 over from here, that's worst case scenario for me, bogey, all the last 5 holes. That actually wouldn't be too bad, that. An 82.
What the fuck? Oh, my
that
God.
That went through my head.
What?
And then when I added it up at the end, I said, oh my God, I've just shot 5 over through for the last 5 holes there.
Fucking
finished 6-6-5. Honestly, that was my bogey. It was just, I haven't been in that situation for a while where I'm thinking outcomes, thinking, oh, I could win this one, yeah, you know, can't wait to tell everyone on the podcast I've won a golf tournament.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting here, it's my bogey, do you know what I mean? It's gone from one extreme to the next.
As long as you live and learn from it.
No, that's it, yeah. But you know, one thing I will say about the golf of CBD, which, by the way, Bogey Boys 15, on checkout, get yourself a bit of discount, worked perfectly, no nerves whatsoever. It was just bad swings. Honestly, I've been in that situation so many times where I've got a good score with a few to play. Because my golf, I always split my golf into three segments.
Yeah, 6 holes.
The first
yeah.
6 holes.
6 over.
If they're shite, 6 over, which is the norm, then the tournament's over for me. Yeah. The middle six... Honestly, I reckon if I'd done an average of the middle six, I'd be under par.
Definitely.
Honestly, I'm always...
You got the 2 par 5s, haven't you?
Yeah, I got the 2 par 5s, 2 par 3s, and then it's only 11 and 12, which are quite difficult.
Yeah.
Then 13's quite easy. Par 3, short, only a 9-iron wedge, although it is a smaller green, so you can catch yourself out. But then, whenever I've got a good score going, it's always them last six holes. Yeah. If I've done well the first six and got them out the way, so it is just a mental thing because you still got to be in the moment, hit the shots.
I think them last six holes are easy as well.
But they can catch it out because the 15 tee, that's a tight tee shot.
Yeah, but it's only a little iron and a wedge in it, that all really.
Well, it is, yeah, but then you've still got to hit the shots.
Oh, yeah, but what do you mean?
Yeah, well, we played with Danny on Friday, and I'm going to tell this because he beat me again. Shank two, didn't he, off the tee?
Did he? Into the houses?
Well, the tree's there, so he didn't think. But that can happen. He's a scratch plus one golfer, you know, and he's doing it, so... you've still got to hit the shot and execute them, but I get what you're saying. There is a short
but
hole.
But it's not like you're coming to the 15th of Formbjorn and you've got to drive a 5-wood into wind at Island Green. I mean, it's like it's an easy hole in all things considered. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. So it's just something for me to learn and continue to progress on. If I can get myself into that position again, I just need to try and strip it back and stay in the moment.
Take your own advice. Yeah. Shot at a time.
Shot
swing,
at a time.
Pre-shot routine, thought process.
Yeah.
Like, you're not six over. You're playing that hole.
Playing that shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing, and I know how to do it. I've done it for years, but again, it's
lack of being in that position.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But it felt good, though. I'm not gonna lie. It felt good actually having not being on the 15th, 14th tee, thinking, fucking hell, what's my handicap index going to go up to?
Yeah.
No, just what's my handicap index going to go up to from here, you know? So, what's your bust?
My bust is my golf. What I do is, I get a lesson and I'll be playing and I'll just go and I'll turn up, go to the range, I'll play. When I'm going to the range, I'm going to the range to loosen up. I'm not actually drilling my techniques in.
Yeah.
And my technique isn't there. It's not drilled, it's not embedded. And I need to, and my chipping was a bit rusty on one of the things and my putting was rusty. I need to be going down of an evening and just spending a couple of hours putting or a couple of hours chipping and then not playing as much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because just playing all the time. It's just,
yeah,
it's
you
not,
do. You need to embed. You need to embed the swing. That's one thing Hayden said to me when I was getting frustrated on the Friday with my golf game. He said, look, mate, he said, I change something slight in my swing and I've got to hit balls every day for 2 weeks before I start feeling
it. You
know? Do you know what I mean? So, like, you can't expect to just come and play once, twice a week and be hitting the shot you'd expect to hit. You've got to put the time in if you want to get it. Just takes time. That's
It's not like riding a bike, is it? When people say, like, oh, is it riding a bike? It's not at all.
And it's an individual sport. Wow. So if you don't put the time in, it'll show on your score.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so
there's unless you play a little team game where you can hide. Yeah. That's another thing, playing them team games doesn't help.
Yeah, no.
Coming out, like, because you play with, like,
accountability, like we always talk about.
Well, exactly, yeah. But then even, like, the fact of, like, you're hitting shots that you wouldn't really hit because you think, oh, I'll have a go at this because my partner's already in, do you know what I mean? But you're not protecting your own score and different things. So it's good to switch between the mentalities as well, but at the same time, it's not doing yourself any favours.
But like you said to me there, you learn from it, you know, you've got off to a good start, your handicap progression's been unbelievable, 9 to scratch, you've hitting so many of your goals, now you just need to press the reset button, go back to putting the grinding on the range and then you'll see the benefits on the course.
I can't wait for that.
Right. My bust is, I don't know if you've seen the news, the NCAA, going back to the college collegiate stuff, women's championship was cancelled on the morning of the event. The commissioner saying that the course was playable, but not championship playable.
What does that mean?
There was outrage. So it was raining. It was wet in patches. So he said, you can go out and you can play the course, but it's not championship playable. So what we're going to do is we're going to cancel the event. And then the top six teams seeded as they go into that event. And the top three individuals will go to the national championships. So to put that into perspective, right?
Who's this? That same fellow who makes the mad rules? That guy? Well, he's European touring, actually.
He's European touring, but they're all the same. Do you know,
it's
a disgrace, do you know what I mean? These young girls have obviously worked hard in very difficult conditions and situations because of COVID, so there's restrictions there anyway
on getting
the championship started. So the way the NCAA championship works is you play events weekly, bi-weekly, whatever, and then based on how your team performs, you get points and then you get seeded, and then at the end, the top seeds go into this event and then the top from there go into the national championship. So national championships is what Matthew Fitzpatrick's won, Bryson's won, as amateurs, and it gives you a lot more opportunities from when you're turning up. So the top six seeded teams are obviously the favourites to go through, but it doesn't mean on the day that their teams are going to perform. So the teams outside of that are not getting that opportunity because the course is not playable, which is just a disgrace, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if you can go out and play, then you can go out and play a championship. It doesn't matter.
Well, this is it, yeah.
The weather, the whatever, it is
Let
what
them
it is.
Go out, let them play, and then, okay, after a bit, see what the course is playing like. Don't just make that decision before they've even seen what the ball's reacting like on the greens. And, you know, the weather can change dramatically.
So what did he do?
Cancelled the event.
Fully cancelled.
Fully cancelled the event. And then going into that, the top six seeded teams, who were top six at the, as they went into the event, went through to the national championships.
And then have you looked at how it did it affect?
Effectively.
Like, could the seventh team have got to six? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it might have been already nailed
well, yeah,
on.
Well, this is... It cancelled before start of play.
But what I'm saying is, say, like, you're playing and the Europa League's done in footy there and, like, you cancel the last game of the season, but it doesn't actually affect anything. It could affect... Do you know what I mean? Six and seven, but that's it. Nothing else can. It's already.
Well, no, because there's no additional start. So it's just when you go into the national championships like this, everything's from scratch, and then you've got five in a team. I think it's your best four scores or best three scores out of five. So if you've got somebody who's seeded 10th or 8th or whatever, and then their three of their best players shoot 66, 66, 66, they'll go through.
I see.
But they haven't been given that opportunity.
Fucking hell. So people further down could have went through, but then...
It's just a brand new tournament. Whichever teams shoot the lowest scores and the three lowest individual scores, they, if they're not in the team, go through. And then they play for the individual national championships and the team national championships. So the top six teams have got a bye.
Because of how
they've played throughout the season to get there. And it was, all right, fair enough, if there was a monster.
Does his daughter play for the one of them or something like that?
You've got to think, haven't you? Like, what's going on there? It's ridiculous.
He's probably the same fella when they're like, look, I think it's a bit unfair for golfers to be playing out of divots. And he's like, oh no, it's the rails of golf.
Real shake-up needed. But
I don't even know who this fella is, and I can already see what he looks like. Oh no.
Interesting, yeah, but that's
fair. It was a good, very viable bust that, because
it's just they work hard all season, and yeah, the top six seeded teams, fair enough, you know what I mean, they more than likely would have went through, but
there's more to that. Go on. I just think there's more to it, do you know what I mean? There's more behind it.
Yeah, nice birdie ball you was though.
Yeah, decent.
Yeah, very,
very
interesting. Continental Europe.
The cavalry is here.
The cavalry is here, but
done nothing.
No, but it was only two Spanish players, Seve Ballesteros and Antonio Garrido. Mm-hmm. I thought there might have been more European players.
I think it's dipping your toe in it first.
See how it goes,
yeah.
Get them in, yeah. But also making his rookie appearance was Sandy Lyle. So you've got Seve, Garrido, Sandy Lyle, and then you've got the likes of Ken Brown and Nick Faldo. So a strong European team.
Very strong. You're going over to... it's in America.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's you straight away. It's against,
backs against
again,
the wall.
Backs against the wall. Yeah.
But you know, they must have felt a bit confident though, because for the first time since he was first eligible to play in it, Jack Nicklaus failed to qualify for the team.
Yeah.
There's still no captain's pick, so there was no Jack Nicklaus this time.
He's getting on though, and he's 39 now, and he Nicklaus. But I suppose that was like the average age, wasn't it?
Winning majors after
this. Winning majors after this. You know, the prime of his life.
And then Tom Watson pulled out the day before because of the birth of his first child.
See?
So you think you lose Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson, and then you're getting European players. You've got to have confidence.
Tom Watson, there, it's like you, they're saying that you can't play golf on Thursday because of your family. Family's getting in the way of everything.
You can tell you've got no children yet. but minus the Team USA losing those players, they've still had the likes of Lee Trevino and rookie Fuzzy Zeller.
Fuzzy Zeller, yeah.
Yeah, and them two became a force, Lee Trevino and Fuzzy Zeller. Interesting point, I'll come on to this now. They played against, well, they were due to play against Ken Brown and Mark James.
Yeah.
In the afternoon session, but Mark James had an injury, so had to pull, and a rookie called Smythe got his place with Ken Brown, and supposedly Mark James and Ken Brown got a label of bad boys and got fined and banned because of the way Ken Brown had spoken and treated Smythe as they got beat 7-6. Supposedly it was meant to be disgusting the way he treated them. Yeah,
that's weird because Ken Brown is only 22 at the time, and that
just
Smythe
attitude.
Is 26.
Yeah.
So you're thinking it'd be like...
He's a rookie. Yeah,
but come on. Like, you're 22 years of age. Like, you'd like have some respect.
Well, that's it. Well, he didn't. And this is the problem, yeah. Later years, Smythe's come out and he said it's no hard feelings. It's just the way it was. We're passionate about the sport. And they got pumped 7-6 by Trevino and Zeller. But that Mark James talking about travelling to America, they all have a uniform, and he turned up without his uniform. Just shows the lack of respect. So Mark James got £1,000 fine, and Ken Brown got a £1,500 fine and got banned from international for 12 months.
No
off
way.
The back of it, yeah. So a bit of controversy, but the format is the same as what we see today. So you've got the morning and afternoon four-ball bettables and then the 12 singles matches. So there was 28 points at stake. 14.5 was the magic number to get it over the line. And going into the singles, I know you said obviously the USA won, but going into the singles on this one, the USA were only up by a point, 8.5 to 7.5.
Yeah.
So it was close, could have been anyone's, but there was only three victories for Europe in the singles, which meant that the USA won 17-11. But what's interesting about that is four of those singles points that the USA won all won them on 18. So could have went the other way, and we could have actually seen Europe. So it's more of a competitive. I know there's only two Europeans, and obviously we know what the Ryder Cup and how competitive it is now. Yeah. But it just goes to show you it was the right call to get them in, even though there's only two of the Spanish lads in there this time. It just shows the competition and how it's gone.
Definitely, well, as I say, there when won the first match out for the for Europe, there's a winner as well. So like you level on points, then you're thinking this could be the first time we're ever going to win this, and you lose five in a row.
Exactly. And it just the singles just killed them off, and there was a couple of really close matches that could have went either way. The score 17-11 makes it look as if it was a bit of a whitewash, but that doesn't tell the full story. Do you know what I mean?
No, not at all.
So it's I'm happy with that one.
Yeah.
Bit more meat in that one.
It's getting closer, isn't it?
Yeah, we're getting
it. It's coming in. I can feel it brewing.
We know the stories that are coming now. I think we've got through the rigmarole of it being a bit of a nothing competition, and we're getting a bit of a.
It's painful apart from that segment. It's just horrible to keep. We lost again.
At least we're losing. We're losing on our feet. Yeah. There you go. Which is good, isn't it? Good. Right, so before we move on to major number two of the season, got a little quiz for you.
Oof.
Only three questions. I like the little...
the little three ones,
I know,
you?
I know. I don't know why. I'm just lazy more than anything, I think.
No,
Question number one. Who holds the record for the most consecutive PGA Tour top tens?
Jesus.
Do you want multiple choice?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Ben Hogan.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Byron Nelson. Sam Snead.
Byron Nelson.
Extra points if you tell me how many.
I don't know, because the only reason I know that, because he's won the most in a row. He's won 11 events in a row.
Okay, yeah.
So he obviously must have had the most top tens, because...
If that's your justification, then guess how many he had in a row. Top tens.
31. 68. Oh, did he?
68 top tens in a row.
Oh, my word.
Right.
He must have had some form then. He wasn't even in our thing. Was he in our thing?
Go to bait, no.
Oh, my God. Losers, aren't we?
I know. I think we put that based that on wins, though, didn't we? And he was at... there was a couple of good golfers in this segment.
What's the...
Fact check. Sorry, Byron. We'll do an
impromptu one next week.
Let's do that, yeah. Right. To put that in perspective, second place was Ben Hogan with 28, 40 less. Sam Snead filled the top 10 on 17, and Tiger Woods wasn't even in the top 10.
Fucking hell.
Of consecutives.
And he's won 8 in a row, so obviously his other two must have been nowhere.
But he's 8. There you go. So, Richard Bland became the oldest player to win his first European Tour event, but how old was he?
48.
Yeah, well done. Been watching the golf this week, haven't you?
Mike McKeown, I've seen him at the range. He's like, you know when Mark does the quiz? He's like, I've never even met him, right? But every time we do the quiz and you get a question right, he goes, yeah. And he's absolutely devastated.
Have I just done that then as well?
Yeah. I think you'd be happier there.
God. Right. And this brings us nicely onto the PGA Championship. So the Ocean Course is the host for this week's PGA Championships on Kiawah Island. But how many golf holes are on the whole complex, the resort?
Oh, so, how many courses are there?
Yeah, that won't be a minute. Right, so yeah, is it 18 holes, 36 holes, 72 holes or 90 holes, and stop Googling.
72.
No, 90.
90. Oh, that's a lot of holes.
There's five golf courses on there. Yeah, you've got the Turtle Point, Osprey Point,
Turtle,
Oak Point, and Cougar Point.
Before we move on to the PGA, though.
Okay, yeah.
Just do a little touch on the ladies' golf.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
see. So, like, Liz Young took the Rose Series at Woburn.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
Shanae Woods got a spot in the US Open.
Okay.
And there's a lady called Hayley Davidson.
Yeah.
Who's underwent gender reassignment surgery in January. And she's had the hormonal treatments in 2015. But she competed as a man in the 2015 US Open qualifying and lost in a playoff. And now she's won a mini tour event and the European.
So she's had the change and she's went over to the women's tour. Yeah. And now she's won an event.
Yeah. So I don't know what the reaction's been to it. Like with the inclusion culture these days, obviously everyone's more for it. But the LPGA Tour, have changed the rules that you used to have the surgery for 2 years before you could be classified on the LPGA Tour. But now they've knocked the rules down.
So she's only 4 months in. Is that right? Yeah, January.
Yeah. So now she
can play on the LPGA Tour.
She can play on the LPGA Tour if she makes it. Yeah.
One to keep an eye on.
I don't know.
So, and what's the anyone had anything to say about it?
No, not really. It was just an interesting thing saying like she got a sight up and blah blah. I was thinking about messaging, seeing if she wants to come on.
100%. Yeah.
You know what I mean? A bit of a different one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But this week's the Pure Silk Championship at the Kingsmill Course
on the LPGA.
Yeah. Bronzy Law defending champion.
Yeah.
But the purse, 1.3 million up there with the, as we say, with the European Tour again, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
But 6,445 yards.
The purse for the Gran Canaria was exactly the same, 1.3 mil, yeah. And then similar distance as well, or 1 mil, yeah. Was it?
And I can't pronounce the name, but the girl who won last week, what's it, Juntanang?
Go on, we'll go with that.
Okay, yeah, she won 2016, won in 2018 this event, and won last week, so I'm picking her as my pick.
Are we doing ladies' picks, are we?
No, just because I'm going to do one of them mad bets and promise someone something.
I'm going to go with Patty Tavatanik then.
Yeah, okay.
I'll put it on mine.
She's pulled out.
Hannah Green then. Hannah Green's got to win one, surely.
Surely. Well, yeah, I just thought that dust up on the ladies there, because we've been doing it.
Yeah, no, interesting points. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the women's game,
just
of course.
There's a bit of news about the lady who's changed the sex that I thought we'd.
No, yeah.
On, but on to the main event.
The main event, major number two of the season. Yeah. I can't wait for it. What a gaff.
What a gaff.
Honestly.
It's unreal, isn't it?
It's just so good. I remember
2012 as well. I watched it last night.
Oh, did you watch it again last night? Yeah.
Target of my shaft, Annie. The orange one. I was loving that.
Do you know the cheek of Rory wearing red on a Sunday when he's going up against Tiger? It got me thinking that, and I was thinking, does he win when he wears red? And I had a look, and he won the RBC Canada when he was wearing red on a Sunday as well. So,
does he wear red every Sunday?
Rory, no. He hasn't really got a colour, but I just think, you know, there's a major championship there. Red may be an omen for him.
Isn't it?
Get your red on Sunday, see if you can get it over the line. But he's got to be the favourite, hasn't he?
Oh, come on, he's coming off a win, isn't he? Like, he'd be back to back, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
if he won, it's 7,876 yards.
Monster
start,
monster with the wind. Do you know what I mean? The interesting thing about this is when they played in 2012, is how this course closes. So the 13th hole was ranked the hardest hole on the course, which is just under 500 yards, a par 4.
Yeah.
The 14th hole, the next, was the fourth hardest hole, and the 18th was the second hardest hole. The 18th, again, is just on 500 yards, par 4 to finish.
Yeah.
No protection because it's right on the coast. So if the wind gets up, it's going to be ridiculous. The only respite coming in is 16, which is a short, reachable par 5.
Not exactly short, is it? 581 yards, like.
I suppose it depends where the wind is, doesn't it? Yeah. I just remember from 2012, they were all hitting it in two. So
it was the easiest hole on the course that week.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was the easiest course. So, I mean, wind's going to play a factor because
mix of all them holes as well, you've got 17 and 14, which are 223 and 238 yard par threes.
Well, this is what I'm going to come on to next. You'd add some of them in 8-irons into that par three, and then some of them in 4-irons a couple of hours later.
Mad,
because the way the wind changes direction and when the wind stops and things. So wind is going to play a massive factor in this one. Well, if it's a calm day, you'll see plenty of birdies because of the way the guys hit it these days compared to 2012. But, you know, if that wind gets up, you've got to back somebody who's used to the linksy type style of golf, haven't you?
But it's mad as well. It's the longest major venue in history, this.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
135 yards longer than its previous holder, Erin Hills.
Was it,
had the 2017 US Open, yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
The good thing as well, the architect got free rein at the place because there's no houses allowed in the area because of, that's why there's probably 90 holes as well. Because that whole stretch of landscape can't have any houses because of some environmental issues.
Okay.
So, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a protected, like, frog or something. No, that's what happens, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
It's like an endangered toad and you can't do nothing. That's what happens. Or butterflies or something. Have you seen it? They go mad.
Butterflies can just fly somewhere else, can't they?
Oh, it's special ones.
Special ones, yeah. Or maybe it's got something to do with the water.
Yeah, well, coming in. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something. Well, environmental made me think... I don't know what I'm talking about.
What, frogs and toads?
Yeah. I don't know what happened there.
Brilliant.
Golf Digest rates it the hardest course in the country.
I'm not surprised, again. I'm not surprised. I mean, yeah, the greens are 40 to 50 yards deep.
Yeah, like...
So you're not exactly going to be having a 30-footer, 40-footer. You're going to have a 30-yard, 40-yard putt. Do you know what I mean? So pace putting's going to be the one, but you might even see some of them chipping on the greens.
50-yard chip, isn't it? Pitch shot, isn't it?
It's full wedge for me, that.
Isn't it? What would you rather? Would you rather Rory went back-to-back, or would you rather Spieth filled his cabinet with the four majors?
I'd rather Spieth.
Would you?
Yeah. Would you rather?
I'd rather Rory, you know.
Would you, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Just don't know.
I'd love Rory to do it, but I just think the Spieth comeback has just been unbelievable this season. Up there again, wasn't he, this week?
I think my only said Rory because you said Spieth, to be honest. If you said that, I'd said the other way.
No, I just think it'd cap off an amazing year when we think about the dire straits Spieth was in.
Yeah.
To cap it off, he's obviously got that victory that he wanted a couple of weeks back. But to top it off with a major and get back to winning the biggest tournaments out there, you just love to see those type of players. But
no, definitely.
And he's playing unbelievable golf, yeah, isn't he? So
he's back up there, isn't he?
Yeah. But again, Rory, he's got unbelievable memories there.
Exactly.
Winning by 8 shots last time he was there.
Romped at home, didn't he?
Like, yeah, no one near him. You know, so... And that was getting chased by the likes of Vijay Singh, Adam Scott in his prime. Tiger Woods was chasing him, you know. Ian Poulter had a surge towards the end in 2012. So you've got all these top players in that 2012 tournament. And he just unfazed.
I know. Well, he was swinging it like he didn't give a fuck, didn't he, in 2012? Unbelievable.
But it'd be interesting. It's going to be a really good tournament. Obviously, all the best players in the world there. It'd be interesting to see how Dustin Johnson does.
Up his knees, all right. He could pull out, couldn't he?
Yeah. I know. Brooks Koepka as well. He likes to concentrate on the majors.
His knee as well.
His knee as well, yeah. Anyone else?
Everyone else. All the best players. We kneecapped, literally.
But yeah, it's one I'm looking forward to.
When you're talking about the linksy style, it's link style. But and then the architect's wife, that Peter Dye, said that, like, and it was a typical, like, because like Nicola always says about like scenery and like different things. Like, she was like, why aren't you, like, because you won't be able to see the ocean if they're down and protected by the sand dunes. Like, West Lancs is protected a bit.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, why don't you raise the fairways up so they can get a nice view of the ocean? I would have said, well, no, not really. So why don't you protect us with the sand dunes, please?
Yeah, even with protection at West Lancs, it's still
like
a nightmare.
That's what I mean, exactly.
So
like,
can you imagine if that would have been raised?
All the greens are being raised as well. So it's like, it's links. So you've got to
keep it low,
but you've got to get it high as well.
Yeah.
So Ferity was saying, like, that's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah, it is. You're gonna need obviously an amazing golf game, obviously, because it's a major. And like you're saying, you can just
be a pundit, you know.
You're the one rocking up saying Phil Mickelson doesn't have to play well to win the US Open.
We should both be pundits.
But imagination's gonna be the one as well,
because
look at 2012. Was it? I know Kevin Peterson was up there. He was blading chips. Adam Scott made a I think it was a double or a bogey on the par, on the easiest hole on the course, the par five, when he was in contention because he duffed a chip.
Yeah.
Vijay Singh duffed a chip and made the double bogey that knocked him out of contention. So yeah. It around those greens, because there's a lot of undulation and you're low and you've got to get it high, but then there's the wind to take into account. Imagination's going to play a
key. It's like grinding out that one under level par. If there is a stormy one, that'll put you five shots ahead.
Yeah.
Like with Vijay Singh on the Saturday, was it? I think he was the only player to break par.
Yeah.
And then it keeps you there, keeps you about. Like, yeah, like the notoriously hard, not like US Open hard, but the difficult.
This will, this, yeah, you're not, I mean, I know obviously Rory made it look easy last time, but that was just phenomenal golf. But you're going to struggle to get double under par this tournament. It is going to be like, it's going to be like a US Open, scoring wise and difficulty wise. It's going to play tricks on the players' minds. You get a swirl and wins, that's any player's worst nightmare. You know, it's just going to be, it's going to be an interesting one to see who comes out on top, because you've got Sam Burns playing unbelievable. Gareth Higo, by the way,
yeah,
he got, we fact checked that, he got his invitation there. He's playing this week, so you know he's interesting
to see how he goes, isn't it?
This is what I'm saying. He's probably the informed player in the world at the minute.
68 under for the last three rounds.
Well, exactly. So he knows how to make a birdie. So it'll be interesting to see.
He knows how to make a birdie in Tenerife, roasting, no wind. Does he know how to make a birdie on the seashore with the hell winds?
Do you know what? He's grew up playing in South Africa, hasn't he? There's plenty of courses out there that are similar on, along the coast.
Have you been, have you?
No, never been. Seen plenty of pictures, though.
Yeah, what they've done here, though, you had the Bermuda grass, which is common to the southeast. I don't know what actually how you do this, just change the grass. Like, but then they've brought the Paspalum.
Yeah.
You know what that is? Like,
no idea what you're talking about.
Paspalum. Paspalum. Don't know. Whatever.
Paspalium.
Paspalium. Don't know. Whatever it is. Anyway, it's a type of grass. And it's the first, this was before 2012, to make it the first major ever to be played on that sort of surface. And Rory was just talking about it, because it's seaside friendly, saying that it sticks, dead sticky and dead grabby.
Oh,
so
okay.
Obviously you bomb and gouge makes it more difficult to do that.
Okay.
So, but it's interesting that they just changed the grass, isn't it? Like, how do you even go about, where would you start there on the first? Like, and just...
Well, when they're creating it, when they place the order for the grass, because it's obviously wasteland, isn't it?
No, but they've changed. I see what you mean. No, they only changed it in 2012. Sure, it's been built before 2012, this course.
70s it was built, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, mad.
Yeah.
Just a mad love, reading some mad facts on this course, you know. I don't know about the toads.
Yeah, no, but like we say, it's a who's who. Do you know what I mean? John Rahm's struggling a bit, isn't he?
Yeah.
Not playing too well, but we all know he can turn up and win a major. Justin Thomas, he can turn up and win a major.
Yeah.
At any point, like you say, it's not about the form going.
No, exactly. Yeah, turned up and won the players, didn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is it.
But as well, so that Pete Dye's wife had another input on the 17th hole, which was made famous by Mark Calcavecchia's shank into it in the Ryder Cup, which we'll be on to in a few weeks. It was all wasteland, and she was like, when they were getting to raise the fairways, they were running out of land, and she's like, well, why don't you build a lake here? So they dug a big 10-acre lake out on the 17th with that, to make it so much more difficult. So
what a hole that is.
She actually caused some problems, that woman.
No wonder it's the hardest hole in the history of the tour.
Isn't it?
That's like, hardest course, sorry.
That's what I mean. It's 223 yards over water. It's like,
be harder than, that's going to be harder than the 14th or 13th at your place.
I don't know, have people written driver off that, like like Henry Gibbs, he's off +2 when he hit driver.
Did he?
Uh-huh. Mental.
It is, I don't know why they do it to us. But mental. That's the way golf's going, isn't it?
That's it. Well, especially when they're seeing 25 unders, thinking you're on there, they're probably thinking, yeah, well, come and shoot 25 under around this beast then.
It is. It's going to be totally different to what we've seen so far this season, and that's what's so good about it. You've got quite a number of players from the European Tour coming over, haven't we? You've got, like, Rosner's there, Ryder Cup contender, we spoke about him.
Yeah.
Gareth Higo, we spoke about him.
Is Richard Bland there?
No. It'd be unbelievable if he did,
though.
Imagine
he won it.
I know. Wow. Be like, I don't know. Edit that. I don't know what I was going to say then. but yeah, no, it's like we say every week, another one to look forward to. Stellar field, as always, for a major championship. Monster of a track. Beautiful golf course. Amazing. Beautiful views.
And I'm getting my way again here.
Go on.
Because in terms of picks, I need a bit more time.
Why?
I won't ever study them.
Well, I've got my picks. I've studied them.
Have you?
Yeah, I'll give you my picks. I don't care.
Because I want whatever I'm picking, I want to put money on, so I want to have a little. I need to have a little think about this with these ones.
Okay, well, I'll give you my picks. I'm happy to do that.
Go on then.
So, pot number one, I've gone Tommy Fleetwood.
I'm going for him.
He showed a couple of weeks ago, you know, he was up there and he had a 4-over or whatever for his back nine and faded off. But
well, the reason I'm going for him, though, is because speaking to Finno on the DMs there and on the Bogey Boys,
yeah.
And he's talking about getting him on. I was like, tell Tommy to come on. I said, why don't you come on together? And he's like, if he wins this week, we'll come on.
Oh, there you go.
So you're not going to come on, but you're going to win a major and then come on. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I thought, if we both back him, we put Finno's message and our bets up. Yeah. We're both back on Tommy and be like, see you soon.
Yeah, that's our receipt.
Yeah, see
get
you
on.
Soon.
But no, Link grew up on Lynx Golf for his whole career. Yeah. Used to the wind.
Yeah.
Strikes the ball unbelievable, and you need to hit the ball well in the wind.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
can't have any loose ones. Cause
no spin.
No, nothing. So, pot number two, Garrick Higo.
No, I'm picking him as well.
One of the best players in the world.
Definitely.
At the minute.
Oh,
so,
is, yeah.
You know, how can you not back him? Speaking of Ryder Cup contenders, pot three, Anthony Rosner.
Oh, yeah.
Just missed the cut on the number last week.
Yeah.
And he's had a couple of games now on the PGA Tour. So it was a pot three. Used to playing in poor conditions growing up
definitely.
In France and, you know, being on the European Tour and stuff. You got to back him. And then pot four. How can we not back Hudson Swafford?
No, well, I'm not going to. That's like that for me. Pot three last week, Mr. Cud.
Yeah, exactly. But no, legends. I'm going to go for Hudson Swafford in pot four this week. So
I'll post
that's
my
picks. You'll post them.
I'll post my picks.
Have a bit more time.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So look, again, hope everyone enjoys their golf. Unbelievable. Golf
just
venue.
Boston is a major. Just a major. It's different, isn't it?
It's different gravy, isn't it? Yeah.
Shame there's no Tiger Woods, like, but hopefully...
Well, there's enough players there, isn't it, to
no,
make it interesting.
Yeah.
Rory's back on form. Spieth playing unbelievable.
Yeah.
You can never count Tommy out on these type of courses. Garrick Higo will be interesting to see how he gets on. There's just loads of different storylines.
That could be written. Oh yeah, Spieth, Rory, like Tommy's first major. Like yeah, there's so many different storylines.
This is it.
And you know, we're not counting out the back-to-back as well, isn't it, Morikawa? Like
yeah,
I know he's not long, but. He's accurate, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He's not playing as well as he probably should be.
But he wasn't last time either, was he?
There you go. And then you've got Hovland. Hovland's been playing unbelievable. You've got obviously the top players in the world go without question. Cantley's been a bit quiet lately, but he can always pop up and have a good tournament. There's just so many good golfers who are more than capable of going out and winning this. But I think what's going to be good about this one is I know Rory went and ran away with it on the back end of day three and day four last year, but I don't think we're going to see that this year. I think we're going to see drama
right to the end.
Yeah, because you get a double can just pop up anywhere, and then you can there's eagles that can pop up on the likes of 16 and the other par fives in the course. There's two par fives that are quite easy on the back nine, so you can pick up those shots where you might lose them on like the likes of 14 and 18. So
yeah,
again, just an exciting week of golf, isn't it?
Oh, I can't wait, man.
One to look forward to.
I can't wait.
But again, as always, mate, I enjoy these conversations. I hope everybody's enjoying the shows. Don't forget to subscribe and like and leave
friends.
Us a little rating. Tell your friends, yeah, if you're liking what we're doing, because I'm pretty sure they will too.
Take your dad's phone and subscribe as well. Like that's what we do to the hard ones.
Yeah, whole family subscribe. Brilliant. Really? But look, until next week, we'll be back to review the second major of the year and any other golf news.
Yep.
Also, our golf, see how we're going with that. We'll continue with our progressions. I'm down from 6.9 on the index to 6.1 now.
I was thinking you need to chill out before you get to double figures, man. Like, get out there and
Working back
do then. Something.
That's it. So, again, enjoyable, mate, as always. And until next time, we'll see you soon.
Ciao.
Cold topped it. Ready? Ready to get up.
Yeah.
Okay,
Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.